Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially some of the words of Jesus. Verse 14. Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there. Verse 26. Do you believe this? Verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? A little bit troubling, some of these verses, and what is going on? Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. Well, there is something taking place, and you could put it this way. When you're growing up, and you're going through confirmation class, very often you learn about Christianity and about the doctrines and teachings of the Christian faith as great ideas. You could call them faith as a theory. Oh. Which is different from faith being put into practice, right? Faith as a theory is absolutely the most wonderful thing in the world. And, well, I can tell you, if you then go on into a church career, that faith as theory keeps on going for quite a while, and you go through college, and that's 4 years that you can talk about faith as a wonderful theory. If you go on to seminary, you've got 4 more years where you can talk about faith as theory. But eventually, the professors at the seminary take you and push you out. Now you've got to go out there into the real world, and faith is not just a theory. It's got to be concrete. And the difference is that when faith becomes concrete, now there are issues, there are problems, there are worries, there are troubles in life that are coming upon you. And you don't know how to apply that theory all the time. So you get into spots where you ask, what is God doing? What does He have in mind? And the theory, it's nice theory, but you still struggle. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus falls ill. So, good application of how you do the faith business. Well, you call the teacher. Lazarus, your friend is sick. And you expect that he'll show up and speak a word or lay a hand on, and Lazarus will be healed. Or, in our day, so-and-so is ill. Take it to the Lord in prayer, invite others to go and to join in the prayer, and, well, there'll be healing, won't there? But what if you're Mary and Martha and the teacher delays? This is the most troubling of the verses in the story. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. That's not supposed to happen. He's supposed to answer. See? He's supposed to answer on their time frame, in the way that they want, with the answer that they have in mind, and now we're right into modern times, aren't we? And he doesn't do that. Why is it? Could it be that he has something else in mind? And when he has something else in mind, he has the right to not explain that? Because he's God, and we are not. And he has his own plans, and those plans are not always what we would have planned out, but he gets to be God and we don't. And so this faith putting into practice, faith becoming concrete, means that we're walking with somebody who has that authority to take where we thought our lives should be going, and now all of a sudden we're off down a whole different direction, and we have no idea where this ride is going to go and what's going to happen along it. Now it's concrete. Now it is time where you simply say, I know that he loves me. Whatever comes along, I know that he loves me. And faith being concrete, well, it takes you through very interesting things in life, doesn't it? So the teacher delays. Jesus doesn't show up, and Lazarus dies. And you can hear a bit of irritation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Was that Martha or was that Mary? Actually, it was both exactly the same words. Guess what they've been saying back and forth to each other in the days in between. Now comes a little bit more troubling of an issue. Because Jesus gives them answers that they don't expect. Oh, yeah. Do you believe? What kind of an answer is that? Or, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And there is a pattern in the Bible. Now, it gets troubling at times, such as when Moses is on Mount Sinai and he asks God for a sign. We know what a sign is, right? Something that you can see right now that will be a promise for the future. And God gives him a sign. But the sign is not going to come along until Moses has gone down the mountain, gone back into Egypt, faced the questioning and skeptical people of Israel and all of their doubts. And Moses, why are you doing this to us? Don't you have any sense? Did you bring us out into the wilderness to starve us all to death? And Moses running back time and time again to God and asking, Lord, what are you doing? Oh, the sign was, after all of that is said and done, you'll be back on this mountain worshiping me. For Moses, for us, stuck in time, not able to just see the future, for us, that's not that comforting, is it? But the answer comes from God, who is above all of it, who knows how it began, how it's going to end. He knows all of this. And so he gives an answer that can only come from the one who has seen the end of it all. Just a little hint for how that actually becomes comforting, because we know that we are in the hands of the one who knows how it all works together and finally works out. Or Abraham. Leave your father's house. I'll make you a great nation. Yes, a son from your own body. And so Abraham waits and waits and waits and waits and questions and is told to wait and questions more and is told to wait. And he's 90 plus years old before he sees the fulfillment. Isaac. And then God says to him, go to the mountain I'm going to show you, and there sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. You could say that at times God gets a little bit impolite. Could say that. But remember, he's God. And he knows how it works out. And when he sends Abraham and Isaac to that mountain, it is to act out, but not to finish the acting out, of a father sending his son to that mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. And that father is God the Father, and his son is Jesus Christ. Little hints and pictures of God's full plan so that his people can get a glimpse of what he has in mind. So Mary and Martha, wait. Finally, when the teacher comes, he starts by giving them answers that are not all that pleasing. And only then, after the tears, after the walking to the tomb, after more tears, does he actually speak and say, Lazarus, come forth. Faith has to be concrete. Faith can't be just a theory. It can't stay in confirmation class or in the seminary or in the books. It has to be there in real life. And for it to be there in real life, there has to be those times when God says to us, do you believe? When he says that, he is steering us back to what is it that we're supposed to believe? Answer, very simply, the words of God. Do you believe the words and promises of God? No more complicated than that. See, when faith gets concrete, when it really gets concrete, then it becomes simple once again. It isn't a complicated figuring out the plans and schemes of God. Now that would be knowing, not believing. It isn't struggling to have that courage, to have the strength to make it through. Because we don't have that courage or that strength in ourselves. Faith means believing. In fact, faith and believing is the same word. One a noun, one a verb. So Luther calls it to believe the words and promises of God. And repeats over and over again, as the words and promises of God declare. And faith, the more concrete it is, the simpler it is, until it goes back to God has said, what's the issue? And when God has said, and His word is completely and entirely enough, and when hearing the words and promises of God, we know and are sure and certain that we have a loving God, and we have a Lord and Savior who is with us, who is our friend, who walks beside us, who will one day speak words over us, and we will rise and we will see Him face to face, and we will share glory forever and ever. And we simply take those words of God and say, that's enough. That's what faith is. The issue becomes that we like to have a whole lot of other things to affirm and to support us in this walk of faith. We like to lean on the good feelings of being a Christian, the knowledge that our prayers have been heard in the past, the fellowship of fellow Christians to support and strengthen us. That part's not faith. That part is the experience. And there are times when God says, it is time to set aside so many of those other things. Leave them aside and simply trust the words and promises of God. That's why He says to Martha, do you believe this? Because it goes back to simply His words and promises. Those are the times when we struggle with faith. But those are the times when to have faith ends up being the simplest thing in the world. That's where our struggle is. What is it that Martha was supposed to believe? Hear these words from Jesus and note the first two words. I am the resurrection and the life. He gets to say that because He is the one who would face death, enter death, destroy death, rise from the dead, and give us the promise that we also will rise. And if He has faced that enemy and walked through that path, are there any paths in our lives that He is not able to walk with us and be with us and give the victory? In Jesus' name, amen.